Hi, in this episode of IB Matters, we talk to Cody Alderson from the University of New Brunswick in Canada. Cody's the director of the IB Educator Certificate Program at UNB. If you're looking to get a head start on becoming an IB teacher or to expand on your already awesome IB teaching skills, the IB Educator Certificate Program could be a great fit. There are four levels of IBEC, so if you are an undergraduate pre-teaching candidate or an experienced IB teacher, there's a certificate for you. There are even versions for heads of schools. Listen as Cody and I talk about the many aspects of this great partnership between global universities and the IB. Welcome to IB Matters, a podcast for those who currently teach, lead, attend, or are interested in International Baccalaureate IB schools. Hi, folks. Welcome back to IB Matters. And today we have a topic that I was actually in on the ground floor of this, and I was excited when Cody Alderson reached out to talk about the IB Educator Certificate Program. And I'm going to just let Cody introduce himself first, and then we'll get into what we're talking about today. Hi, Cody.
Great. Thanks, John. And I really appreciate you having me on here. I think it'll be a great way for me to tell you what we're doing right now in terms of the IB Educator Certificates, but then hear a little bit about your experience, too. So I think that'll be really interesting. So as John said, my name is Cody Alderson, and I work at the University of New Brunswick in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, where I coordinate the IB Educator Certificates here. And I also teach in the undergraduate Bachelor of Education program.
Okay, great. For those of you that are geographically unfamiliar with New Brunswick, it's basically just a little bit east of Maine, right? It's it's north and east of Maine, which for us in the U.S. Is a long ways over.
That's
a long ways up there. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to University of New Brunswick.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been here at UNB now for 2 years, and we actually launched our program 2 years ago, the IB Educator Certificate. So I kind of came on board for the first cohort of students there. But prior to that, I was an IB educator. So I taught DP Mathematics, Environmental Systems and Societies, and TOK. And then I also worked as a university counselor, helping students think about university and career counseling. So I've sort of encountered the DP from that side as well, working with university partners for transfer credits and application statuses and those sorts of things. So I certainly have a lot of experience, particularly with the diploma program. Worked at a really great independent school here in New Brunswick that offered the diploma program. And then I got hired to sort of spearhead this campaign at UNB to offer our training to pre-service teachers.
Okay.
So I've been doing that now for 2 years, and you know, things are going really well, and we've got some areas to grow into as well.
That's great. So let's just introduce folks to what the IB Educator Certificate is. It is not the same as the IB Educator Network. You can go back, and we've done a podcast or two that connected with that. I'm personally an IB educator in the IB Educator Network. And when we started to think about this IB Educator Certificate, I just wanted to make sure that we clarified that they're not the same thing. What's cool about this, as you mentioned, you can work with pre-service teachers to get this certification. And so why don't you go ahead and describe the overall program and kind of how you do it there at UNB, excuse me.
Yeah, absolutely. So the IB Educator Certificates are neat because they're basically done in partnerships with universities worldwide. So the IB has a network of universities that have been certified. So just like IB World Schools need to go through sort of a vetting process with site visits and curriculum documentation, that sort of thing, universities also have to do that to be able to offer these certificates. So there are four different certificates that that are offered. The university I work at, UNB, we offer just one of those certificates, the Certificate in Teaching and Learning. But depending on your interests, you might consider one of the others. So typically, the Certificate for Teaching and Learning might be for pre-service teachers who want to teach in IB schools, or they might be for current practicing teachers in a non-IB setting who might want to go and teach in an IB school. Basically, there are ways for teachers to learn sort of the basic ideas of IB, the philosophy, the different program components, and how they can start using those teaching strategies in their classrooms. So that's the one, that's sort of the main certificate that I work on is this certificate in teaching and learning, but there are three others as well. So there's an advanced certificate in teaching and learning, there's a certificate in leadership, and then there's an advanced certificate in leadership.
Okay.
So although sort of my focus right now is on pre-service teachers, and in September, we'll be launching a program online for practicing teachers as well. But right now I'm focused on the certificate in teaching and learning. But throughout this whole network of partner universities that the IB has, there's actually a lot of great professional opportunities for both new and experienced IB teachers. Yeah. So I'd certainly encourage people to look into those because there's a real rich group of professional opportunities available.
Yeah. You know, this might be a good time for me to share my connection with this program because here in Minnesota, there is a university, it's called Bethel University. It's in the north suburbs of the Twin Cities between Minneapolis and St. Paul. And I was in their very first cohort as that was, I think we were one of the first in the whole IB system to do this. It was a new creation at the time. And in fact, when we did it, there was just one option, which was our, you know, more the teaching and learning kind of thing. And it was in person, believe it or not. So the cohort was six of us and we went there once a week. It was a series of, I think it was, four courses. There was three courses and a capstone. And then what we did, I was looking at, you know, I was an experienced teacher already at that point, and I was looking to top off my lane changes to be direct. And, it was a 10 credit program and it allowed me to find, you know, I had delayed it for a long time to do this because I just didn't want to take, you know, piecemeal courses just to fill up the credits. And it timed out very nicely with me becoming an IB, a new IB coordinator at the time. And I thought, well, this is a great way for me to better understand the program. I'd been to the IB trainings, but I thought, well, here's something I can apply. It'll serve me personally to get my last 10 credits for my final lane changes. And it served me very well when it came to understanding the IB program at different levels. So it was both for teaching as a coordinator. It was really helpful to me. And I've encouraged people all along to do that. And Bethel University very quickly flipped over to online kind of learning because they just knew there's only so many people within the realm of, you know, can come in and actually go to the school. Right. So you're entirely online with yours?
Well, actually, right now we're in person as well.
Okay.
As part of our undergraduate program. So we're offering our certificate for pre-service teachers exclusively as of today.
Okay.
And so we have a small cohort within our larger group of Bachelor of Education students. But as of September, we're going to start offering an online certificate for practicing teachers as well.
Right.
And for much the same reasons you just mentioned, we recognize there's sort of a global community here that might be interested in getting this certification. And now, you know, we've been teaching online. UMB has a long history of teaching online, master's programs, graduate level programs. So we're sort of tapping into some of that expertise to reach a different market. But that's, I think, actually one of the really interesting things about the IB educator certificates in general is if you were to look at universities across the world, each of them has a slightly different spin on how they're offering their programs. So there's no kind of cookie cutter model, which I actually think is really great. You know, if somebody wants to be in person as a pre-service teacher, our program would be great. But if somebody has a couple kids at home and is working full time and wants to sort of study asynchronously, then my current program isn't the best fit. But there are programs there that are. So I think that's a really unique feature is it combines like all of the background information that you would get from your IB training, your category 1, 2, and 3 training, but it adds sort of that extra layer of like a university level course and all of the things that come with that, including the methods of delivery.
Yeah. Okay. So you've provided some links for us. And this program that you're going to be starting up in the fall. So just for background for you and for the listeners, any particular podcast is usually heard in between 120 and 140 countries. So I always end every podcast with it's a credit to the global reach of the IB. And it is true. You know, we really do get heard all over the world. And so if they're listening from wherever they are listening, they can get a hold of you. And this new program you're starting in the fall, that will be asynchronous.
Yes. Yep.
That time. Yeah. So their time zones are not an issue and things like that. So they could reach out to you. To be fair, you know, there are going to be other schools all around the world that are doing this, colleges and universities, but, you know, you're hearing Cody now. So as I told him before we started recording, they're going to love you. So they can just start with you. But anyway, that's really a cool thing. Now, is the one you're doing starting in the fall going to be the advanced or the beginning level teaching and learning?
Yeah, good question. So it'll still be the certificate in teaching and learning. And we're even narrowing our focus even more. So it'll be specifically for diploma program, those interested in teaching the diploma program, and okay. specifically mathematics and science.
Okay.
So we're starting in a cohort model where we would have subject specialists grouped together, yeah. and then kind of running this a little bit as a pilot to see how it goes. My background is in mathematics and science teaching, so the natural start yeah. point felt like that was the good place. So once we run that, we hope to expand, and you know, we certainly have lots of partners all over the world who work with us, practicing IB teachers, retired IB teachers, coordinators, that sort of thing. We're starting to build this network of experts that we can sort of tap into. So after this first cohort, hopefully everything goes really well. And then we can start to run different cohorts for different subject areas, sure. and then maybe even expanding to different programs. Yeah. But beginning online now in the fall will be the diploma program, mathematics and science, with a hope to then expand within the diploma program.
Well, that's great. And again, as you said earlier, there if something else is a fit, if you are a teacher in an MYP or a PYP, or if you are working in another subject area than math and science for now, and you want to get going on this great idea, go find a school, and we'll help you with getting some links so you can get that. And I'll look for some other ways for them to connect. If I'm not sure if you would know how they'd find all those other schools. Is college credit available in this, or how much college yep. credit roughly would person earn yep. doing this?
So for my program, we are offering credit at the undergraduate level. So that's one thing that also has implications for financing occasionally, depending yep. on where you are in the world. But we do. But again, that'll be a place where to ask that question of the different institutions, because there could be some that offer it as a non-credit course versus a credit course. But yeah. at the end of our program, the certificate itself is issued from the IB. So you would get the certificate in teaching and learning directly from the IB, which for the certificate we are offering, it gives you roughly the equivalent of the Category 1 training.
Yep. Right.
I think we dive in because we have a little more time and we approach questions a little bit differently. We can dive a bit deeper there, but that's roughly the equivalent that it would get a teacher looking to work in an IB school.
Okay. And just a small matter, but do you know, is there a separate fee to pay the IB to get that certificate?
Yep, that's a great question. There is a small licensing fee that's set from the IB. So you would pay tuition to your institution, and then you would pay the one-time fee to actually receive that certification.
Certification, yeah. The reason I asked that question is because we ran into that. Even Bethel didn't know that there was going to be a separate charge for a separate certificate. So we were all paying our university tuition. And then, you know, I still remember them kind of sheepishly walking in the room saying, well, now to get the certificate, you need to pay the IB. And we were all like, what? But I wanted to make sure.
Yes, I'm glad you asked, because I'm trying to be as transparent as I can yeah. to not have that surprise.
That's right. But I mean, that's how new it was. They didn't even know at right. the time that we just thought it was done. You know. So anyway, so can you give a couple examples of, you know, you mentioned it's very similar to a Category 1 training, or, you know, even a Category 3 in some ways, because it's, you know, it's kind of unique. It crosses over some yeah. different levels. But and give an idea of some of the curriculum that you would expose new teachers to.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, we really begin at the beginning, like the overall big overarching ideas within the IB, you know, ideas of international mindedness, the learner profile, certainly the ATL skills, all of those sort of things that you really need to know if you're walking into an IB classroom.
Right.
So that's one. So we rely heavily on the IB's documentations. We use their documents like From Principles to Practice and the specific subject guides, their assessment and inclusion policies. So we really explore those through the lens of a teacher. Now, one of the things that I like about our program is our students are also taking their Bachelor of Education courses.
Right.
So they're taking courses in assessment and in, you know, their methodology and all of these sorts of things. So I'm then able to ask, okay, what does assessment look like in IB and how is it different from the provincial curricula or how is it different from the national curricula? And I can sort of take a bit of a comparative lens so that I can ask my students to learn from other systems, including the IB. So I really kind of like that. But basically, the main ideas from IB are what we focus on. We focus a lot about inquiry-based teaching and teaching for conceptual understanding. And I try to give my students some specific strategies that they can use in their classroom to teach in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we explore the theory, but then we say, okay, how are you actually going to use that? What is your actual lesson plan going to look like? And how is that going to look for your students?
Yeah.
So I'll try to give my students like an experience like my students in my IB classroom would.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the way I teach, it's not a lot of lecturing because I think it's really difficult to teach about a student-centered program by only lecturing.
Right.
So
right.
I need to have students collaborating and working in groups and being risk takers and all of these things that they should be doing and modeling for their students. I ask mine to do that as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really like that. I like that I have the time and the flexibility to have my students dive into the curriculum in a really authentic way by actually applying it themselves.
Right. This fact that it's a cohort also, that was one of the best parts of the experience for me. I mentioned there were just six of us, but we were, you know, we were pioneers and the staff at Bethel was very collaborative with us because they were also kind of building the plane as we were flying it. And, but the cohort experience, and IB has actually taken that cohort idea into, well, for example, the IB Educator Network that is the other way of kind of getting expertise. They really build the cohort idea and that collaboration amongst, you know, budding teachers or experienced teachers is not always the experience. Many of us, especially that worked in high school, is you're a bit of a loner. Like I was a chemistry teacher and there were like two of us, you know, that kind of thing. So you didn't have a lot of opportunity to do this kind of collaboration. And when you have the advantage of either the undergraduates you have now or the future people coming from all over the world to come in, they're going to have a chance to collaborate, I'm guessing by time zone so that they can get along, get up at the same time or go to bed at the same time. But that experience is priceless when it comes to really getting at what the IB framework is.
And one of the things that I've loved the most about it is I'm still working quite closely with practicing IB teachers.
Yep.
And there is just such a nature of collaboration among IB teachers as well.
Right.
So, you know, we're all speaking the same language. Like IB, as your listeners know, will be full. It's full of acronyms and these specific terminology and all of that, which it can be challenging as a new teacher. So number one, we teach our student that language so then they can communicate, work with IB coordinators and administrators to find practicum placements, for example. And mm-hmm. it's just so easy to just pick up the conversation because we all have that shared foundation.
Right.
And teachers, like part of our program is pairing up a pre-service teacher with a practicing mentor teacher from somewhere in the world. So mm-hmm. I will admit many of these people are my friends and former colleagues or friends.
That's where you have to go.
But then we've been expanding. So, you know, I have mentor teachers who are living in France and who are living in Bermuda and Majorca and Canada and the United States. And it's just great because we have this cohort live in person here in New Brunswick, but they're talking to IB teachers from all over the world. And then we're all reporting back and we can all understand each other because we're working with a common curriculum, we're working with a common framework, and we're speaking a common language. So that's been really great. And we can only do that because of the generosity of people with their time and the willingness for IB teachers to help the future generation of teachers and to constantly be trying to improve their own practice.
Well, let me just comment a couple things about what you just said. One of them is the collaborative nature of IB teachers. You know, this podcast runs on people contacting me like you did to say, hey, I've got something I want to talk about. Right. And when I start to look at some of the people that have been on the podcast, and I end up following them on Twitter and Instagram and other thing and LinkedIn, and then I look at what they're doing, that person talk to me for an hour, but they have continuously given their time to people in their region, in their continent, you know, all over, and are constantly doing this kind of thing. I bet you there's going to be listeners to this podcast that are going to go, hey, I would like to help out in my local IB certificate program. So that's one. And the other is the common language you talked about with new teachers and teachers that are, you know, thinking about being an IB teacher. We run a very modest jobs board on our website for the Minnesota IB educators. And we continuously get, we get a series of people that will say, hey, I'm interested. I've been an IB teacher in this country and I'm moving to Minnesota or whatever. And I would love to work in an IB school there. And this is entree, you know, the fact that they can go in and talk that language, it's difficult. You know, if I'm interviewing and if I'm talking to someone who's coming to my school that's an established IB school, you know, we'll take whoever the principal hires, you know. But at the same time, I could talk to the principal and say, hey, here's some things we could be looking for. And when you write out the, you know, here's what we're looking for, IB educator certification would be a great thing to have on someone's resume.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, we hope that it gives students an advantage if they're applying for jobs and they want to work in IB schools, whether it be here or abroad. Like, that is one of the hopes of the program as well, is that they can, you know, set themselves up for a really rewarding career in education.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that this, you know, the practices that we're talking about, you made a good connection between the provincial and the IB kind of curriculum and framework. But I often use the term IB as a funnel for best practice. And I would guess that you find a lot of overlap. And sometimes curriculum is, you know, what's on paper, the static part. And IB is more of a teaching framework. And so it's how you do this. That's the only reason IB survives in, you know, globally in 180 countries or whatever in 6,000 schools, is because no matter what the cultural background of that community, political background, economic levels, and so on, these are universal concepts to good teaching. And so that's what people are learning. Even if, like you mentioned up top, even if they're not going to an IB school, heck, if you're an IB trained teacher, you are a better teacher.
Yeah, I say that to my students all the time, John. You know, IB teaching is good teaching, period. Yep. You know, putting students at the center of their learning and, you know, using methods of inquiry, these are things that all teachers should be doing. And so, you know, to get that formal sort of education right from the beginning, I actually think that's quite valuable. You know, new teachers, it's challenging to be a teacher. We all know that. But if you can sort of start off with this idea of what teaching could be, I think that's a really positive thing. So that's one of the things we're pretty proud of as well.
Right, right. And I think, you know, my exposure to IB happened after 28 years of quote unquote regular teaching. And, you know, it matched my personal philosophy of what teaching should be. It was kind of like, oh, here it is. After 28 years, I figured out, oh, here's the thing I like a lot that fits with my philosophy. But when you're a new teacher and you are establishing that kind of framework for yourself of what it is to be a good teacher, there can't be a better way to start than to start with this idea, this certification. And it gives you the confidence to walk into the classroom with, you've got a plan, you know what you're trying to help students achieve, and you can actually do it.
Absolutely.
Cool. In terms of finding out more about this, our links, describe the links that we're going to be sharing here. What are they?
Yep, absolutely. So one would be a direct link to our my university's website. So if someone was interested in that online cohort, the information is not up yet, but I'm hoping sort of by the end of February that I'll have that up to date with the information on how to apply for a September start. So that would be the first. But the second would be the IB's information. So they produce every year a really great comprehensive view book of all of the universities across the world that offer the different certificates. So that would be a great spot to start. Through those pages, you'll see whether or not they offer the programs online or in person. Some certificates will require background knowledge of IB. So if you're applying for an advanced certificate, for example, you may have to have a few years of experience, but that information will be provided there. The universities include unique things about their program, so you can sort of look through and find if there is a good fit for you. And then often they would have some kind of a link to their actual web page and application information. So certainly anybody thinking about one of these certificates, whether it be in teaching and learning or leadership, should check out that document from the IB themselves, because it's current and up to date. They publish it. I think they update it maybe twice a year with all the current universities.
And how many credits is this certificate at New Brunswick?
Yeah, so we have two specific IB courses, so two seminar courses surrounding pedagogy, and then we require students to do a minimum of half of their practicum time at an IB World School.
Okay,
which I could talk a little bit more about actually, because program feature. And then we have a sort of capstone project here at UMB that all of our B.Ed. Students do. And so for the students in the IB group, we require them to show evidence of an IB theme throughout their capstone project. And then we require our students to participate in communities of practice. So they're all paired with a mentor teacher, for example. But we also use, all of our students have access to the Program Resource Center through MyIB.
So they get a MyIB portal.
Yep. And they can get all the current curriculum and position papers. Part of their assignments is posting within the discussion threads. So they're engaging with people from all over the world. So we require that as sort of as part of our program. But practicum, so as I said, we require about half of our students' practicum to be in an IB school. And so that's really going to be dependent on what program they're in and what subject area. Interestingly about New Brunswick is we only have 4 IB schools in the entire province. So we're a province of about 800,000 people now, I think, and we have 4 IB schools. So that means we also use schools from across Canada.
Okay.
So we've been forming partnerships with schools in Ontario, Quebec, Nova Scotia, British Columbia, and we're actually really excited to have an international partner on board as well. So we'll be working with a school in Brazil for practicum experiences as well.
Okay.
But again, because of the transferability of the information they're learning, they can go and teach world history at an IB school in Brazil, just like they could at St. John High here in New Brunswick. Like, that's sort of a really neat feature.
That's neat. Now, your language of instruction in New Brunswick, is it English or French?
Yeah, we are an English university, but we actually attract a number of Francophone students as well. And so our Bachelor of Education program is in English, but we offer French second language courses, like how to be a French teacher. But we also offer a few of our core classes in French as well. So we offer a course in assessment in French, for example. So if there were language learners or proficient French speakers who wanted to teach in an IB context in French, they could take some of their coursework there as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. This idea of a practicum. So in Fredericton, how many IB schools are there?
Yeah, we have one, and it's a Francophone school here in Fredericton. Okay. So we certainly have interns that do their internship there. And then we have two IB schools in the St. John area. So one is an independent school and one is a public Anglophone school. And then we have one other Francophone school in the city of Moncton.
Okay. You know, and for the listeners, Canada.
All DP schools.
Oh, all DP. Yeah. Okay. For listeners, the IB programs in Canada are extremely robust. Canada has a great network of IB schools, and they have tremendous support of IB students. IB students that graduate with a diploma I don't know, what, is there a specific province-wide policy for college admission or anything like that there?
It's a little dependent on per institution. Like different institutions would offer different credit and different procedures there. But certainly from my experience as a university counselor, I've seen students get a lot of credit. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would add there is New Brunswick is a small province, but we're surrounded with a few IB schools, four. But we have one sort of in the candidacy phase right now, but surrounding us are quite a few IB schools, actually. Mm-hmm. So the province of Quebec, for example, it's over 140, I think maybe 144 yeah. schools. And the province of Nova Scotia on the other side of us has 15, I think, IB schools. So there are certainly lots of schools in the area. And there's a bit of interest to increase IB here in New Brunswick as well. So, you know, we're excited about that opportunity if it comes to be.
Yeah. And now you're providing them with a pipeline of well-trained teachers. So that's good.
The hope. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Cody, I want to thank you for your time today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add and make sure people understand about the program or what you're doing?
No, I guess just the last thing would be if anybody does have questions, certainly reach out. My email, I think, will be provided there as well.
Yep. Yep.
But no, just thank you very much. It's nice to talk to people and to get the word out. I think there's a lot of great professional learning happening in the area of IB teaching and learning. So I'm happy to be part of that and thankful that you can provide me a platform to share some of that information.
Yeah, no, this is great information. And it's definitely universal. And you've been generous to share the links that they can use wherever you're listening from to find a program that fits your needs and also maybe is closer to you if that's a factor for your work. So thanks again, Cody, for coming on and sharing the information about this program. And I'm glad for the first time we've been able to talk about this because it's not been on our podcast before.
Great. Thanks, John.
You bet. You can learn much more about the IB Educator Certificate Program using links in our podcast notes, as well as on the IB website at ibo.org. Now that we have over 100 IB Matters episodes covering a range of subjects, you can use our podcast webpage, which is organized by program and by topic. The link to the website is also in those podcast notes. You'll find all of our episodes wherever you get your podcasts, and please subscribe so you don't miss any future programs. Join our nearly 4,000 followers on Twitter at MattersIB. Also, help us spread the word about IB by liking, sharing, and reviewing the IB Matters links in your own feeds and social networks. In our time on the air, we've been heard in over 160 countries, a testament to the global reach of the IB.